Today I'm going to preach a different kind of message than I normally do. Maybe different the wrong way, maybe just a message given in a way that's different than normal. Maybe that's a better way to say it. And every now and then, the way it kind of comes to me is the way you get it. And so if it kind of seems weird the way you get it, probably the way I got it. So God's ways are not our ways, I'm just saying, right? But I want to look at a passage in the Bible and give you some history about it before we kind of get into the practical application of it. If you listen to historical background part first, you might get the practical part on your own. And so that's what I'm hoping is by giving the historical background, you begin hearing something and maybe God speaks to your heart already. And you're like, I already know where he's going with this. So let's look at that. We are going to be looking at Jeremiah 35, the chapter 35. But let me give you a little background before we read this passage and get into it. There's a man named Jonadab. Jonadab was a man who was well known for his wisdom, for following God, wanting his family to be good and wanting his family to follow God. He lived nearly 300 years before Jeremiah. And so when Jeremiah was writing this passage, it was 300 years later. And so that's significant because we're going to kind of get into why it's significant a little bit later. But I want you to understand 300 years, so kind of keep that in the back of your head. We can read part of his story in 2 Kings chapter 10. Before Jonadab died, he charged his immediate family and all succession of family after them not to drink any wine. He also charged them to dwell in tents and to not settle down in any one place, to dwell in tents and always be moving. And so he said, you and all your descendants, drinking wine, can't have it, and you want to dwell in tents. Now, it's very interesting that if you could follow his line all the way through, does his family still, descendants of him, still live in tents? I don't know. He obviously, when he said that, didn't know what the world was going to do, you know. But back then, that's all they knew, and that's all that they could know, was that they're going to dwell in tents, right? But keeping low in status and humility would be the way to live long in a land where they were strangers. And this is kind of part of where they're at. Humility and contentment are always a great policy to live by anyway. The idea behind the teachings was if they denied themselves lawful pleasures, it was lawful to drink wine, it was lawful to live in a home, you didn't have to live in a tent. But if you denied those lawful pleasures, then maybe it would keep you or help you stay away from the unlawful ones. So in other words, here's the line you can't cross. Let's draw our line here so we're not close to that. Put that little bit of information in the back of your brain for now. That's just kind of the history back there as we get forward. So now looking at the prophecies and the writings of Jeremiah moving forward 300 years or so, God arranged Jeremiah's writings to not be in a chronological order, but more of like a priority of things they needed to learn. And so as you go through Jeremiah, sometimes it jumps around from timeline to timeline because he's looking at it from they need to learn this and they need to learn this. So that's kind of the way Jeremiah's writings are. This chapter we're looking at in Jeremiah goes back to the king of Jehoram. And towards the end of his reign, it was after the king of Babylon had invaded Israel and took many of them all captive. And after the judgments of God came to the rebellious nation of Israel, God continued to deal with them through prophets and to turn them kind of back to him. And so he continued to bring prophets in their lives to try to remind them, hey, we don't want this happening again. And so it was kind of this situation that we find this writing for Jeremiah, this prophecy. And it's for this purpose that God bring these statements to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 35, verse number 1 and 2. It says, the Lord which came to Jeremiah from the Lord of the days of Jehoiakim, saying, go to the house of the Rechabites and speak to them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. The Rechabites were a family that were descendants of Jonadab. Now we put the earlier story 300 years earlier. Now we're into this place here. Remember, they were told by their by Jonadab for their descendants and continuing descendants to not drink wine. So now they're brought into the chambers of the temple around there. Obviously, they couldn't go into the temple, right? So they were brought into the chambers, and it's interesting, these chambers that they're talked about here in the house of the Lord, you'll see again if you go back and see Jesus talking about you in the house of the Lord, there are many lavish chambers. And some people think of that as heaven, but he's actually talking about the temple and the lavish chambers that are around there that the priests lived in. And so it's interesting that it's using the exact same words here. But anyway, they were foreigners. They were not circumcised Jews, but they were worshipers of the true God. But they weren't priests, so they couldn't go into the temple. They went into the chambers, the lavish dwelling places outside the temple. And so they were able to go in there. And God told Jeremiah to bring them into the temple chambers and give them wine to drink. Set the wine before them and offer it to them. The reason why God would do this is for one of the points of this message. And hopefully you'll see it come together. But I want to understand here, God did not say, Jeremiah, make them drink. Jeremiah also did not say, God told me to make you drink. God said, bring them into the chambers and offer them drink. And so that's exactly what Jeremiah did. He brought all the male family leaders of this family. He set them down before pots of wine, like lots of pots of wine and cups and glasses for it. And he doesn't say, thus says the Lord, you must drink. He says, here is wine to drink. But notice the response of these men in the next few verses here. Jeremiah 35, verse 6 and 8. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall not drink wine, neither you nor your sons forever. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor own one. But all your days you shall dwell in tents, so that you may live many days in the land where you sojourn. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab. They said, Jonadab commanded us to not drink wine, and we obeyed his commandment. I believe part of the message God wants Jeremiah to bring out is, why did Jonadab tell them and give them these commandments? Why would Jonadab give his family these rules to live by? He told them not to drink wine because the wine was legal and lawful in the country they lived in, but also it's legal and lawful for Jews to drink wine. So he knew that though it was lawful that way, wine could be abused and wine could hurt a family. He knew that. Refraining from even a small amount that was legal would keep them from even drinking too much accidentally and harming themselves or harming someone else. And this is a logical reason and makes very good sense to me. Does it make sense to you? Of course. It makes sense that Jonadab would want to protect his family. He told them to dwell in tents and not to build houses. Tents were cruel dwelling places that they live in. It was cold in the wintertime. But it would teach them to be humble and not to indulge the body into what their desires that they wanted. Man usually wants more than what he has. And that's usually the way it is. If we have this, we want this. If we have this, we want this. If we have this, we want this. It's always going to be, we want more, we want more, we want more. But by staying humble and living in humble dwellings, they were less likely to want to continue to be greedy and want more and more. They knew this is what they're going to have, and this is what they're always going to have, so we didn't have to worry about it. This is where we're going to live. They were movable dwellings, which would also teach them not to settle down into the world. Don't settle down and take root into somewhere. We saw that with Lot. If you go back and look at the story of Lot, he settled in, making his tents facing towards Sodom and Gomorrah. So once you kind of settle in somewhere and once you begin to kind of make a place, it becomes part of your life and your life becomes, and Jonadab wanted his family to be separated from the things of the world because they were living in a place that wasn't good for them. They were living in an area of the country that wasn't healthy for someone who wanted to follow God. And so he said, let's keep it separated. He was being separate from the world, basically. So again, makes sense that he would tell them these things. But Jonadab wanted to show them real concern that he had for their welfare. He cared for their lives and for their eventual eternal souls. So you could see by what he's telling them and the way he tells them that he cared for them and he knew what was going to happen if they didn't. Nowhere, though, do we see in any Jonadab's teachings or in the passing down of anything ever written that it said that there is a punishment if you don't. He didn't say, if you do, I will curse you. If you do, I will come back from the dead and I will, you know, beat you in the head or whatever, you know. He said, there, here you do this, and the reason why is you're have a better life. And that should be reason enough. Again, take that little bit of information and put it in your head. Nowadays, parents want their kids to have more than what they had. The previous generation worked hard for what they had, and they wanted to be able to provide for their own children, so they wouldn't have to work so hard and have it easier. That sounds like a nice thing for parents to do. And I don't know a parent out there that doesn't want the same thing. But what has that caused? I think we have a selfish and very lazy generation who expects to get something for nothing, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. Jonadab had some wisdom in what he commanded. Amen? Jonadab saw a general corruption of man, the drunkards of Ephraim, right, that were around him, and he called his children, and he didn't want them to be called and ruined to that. He called his children out from that. He called them out of this corruption. He didn't want to be ruined by that. He told them not to join in with them, neither their lifestyle or their homes. So think about this. We who are believers are strangers and pilgrims in this world. And we also should stay away from the worldly influences, and we should desire not to be corrupted by them. This also seems very logical to me, that that should be a thought process of the way he went through it. So was this a test to the descendants of Jonadab? I don't think so. Based on the rest of this chapter, I believe this was nothing to do with the descendants of Jonadab. It was done to convict the priest and the rest of the nation of Israel as a test, as opposed to a test for the descendants of Jonadab. Look at this next verse and you'll kind of see what I'm talking about. Jeremiah 35, verse 12. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, thus say the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction by listening to my words, says the Lord? This is right after, right, the descendants of Jonadab said, we're not going to drink wine because our father, or the descendants 300 years later, said not to. God now told Jeremiah to go out of the chamber and go to the men of Judah, go to the priests there, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Will you receive instruction by listening to my words? The Rechabites had consistently obeyed their father and listened to his words. Though he was a man and a father of the flesh, an earthly father who had been dead a long time, how much more then should the nation of Israel obey the father of the universe, their father which is in heaven and lives forever? Look at verse 14. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, were performed. For to this day they drink none, but they obey their father's commandment. However, I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you did not obey me. Jonadab's command his sons to not drink wine, and they did it. They obeyed their father's commandment, even though there was given 300 years ago, and that there was no penalty or punishment if they did. They listened to his commandment as a father, and the information was passed on from generation to generation to generation. God is saying, I have spoken to you. I am the eternal God, the King of Kings. I am the great lawgiver, able to save and destroy. I gave you commandments to you through miracles and writings on stone, and continue to give you prophets and helpers to remind you of my commands, and you can't follow them. But these people follow the commands of Jonadab, who is a mere man, and his commands are handed down from father to son and passed on from generation to generation, and they listen to him. God says to Jerusalem, I have spoken to you, but you have not listened. I have called you, but you have not answered. And then he tells the followers of Jonadab, because you have listened to your fathers, I will reward you. There will be no time that one of your descendants will not stand before me. That's pretty cool. But think about that, that God is going to preserve. So if we could know a descendant of Jonadab right now, there would be some descendant of Jonadab around the world that is still honoring and following God, just like they did 4,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. Kind of cool to think about that. The nation of Israel continues to walk away from God and continually stops listening to God, but the followers of Jonadab keep his commands and listen to him. Israel will be judged and the followers of Jonadab will be rewarded. So just as Jonadab gave his commands to follow his people because he wanted to protect them and watch out for their well-being, God gave his commands to protect the nation of Israel to watch out for their well-being. God used the obedience of the Rechabites to their father to convict the disobedience of the Jews to God, their father. This is the background and history of this passage. But the Bible is not just a book of great stories or neat stories to tell children. But every word in his book can be looked at, and we can look at it and say, what is this for me? What story am I getting out of this? What is God leading me through this story? So what's the purpose God has this story there for us? What is a personal application of this passage for us? God showed me a while back and showed me something for me to see in my life. And maybe God has kind of already begun kind of to reveal it in your heart before I even get to it. God clearly used this passage and this phrase to me, but you have not inclined your ear. And in verse 13, he asks, will you not receive the instruction by listening to my words? He's asking the nation of Israel, why won't you listen to me? I believe he's asking you and I this morning the same thing. But you have not inclined your ears. Why won't you listen to me? And verse 14, God says, I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking. In other words, years and years and years and years before Jonadab, I spoke to you, and you don't listen to what I said. So God has spoken to us 2,000 some odd years ago when he brought Christ on this earth. He spoke some wonderful, amazing words. But we don't listen to that. But we'll listen to someone who just happened to, like, was born yesterday. Maybe not, but you know what I mean. God tells them that he sent prophets and men of God to tell them about us. And he says the same things to you. He says, I have given you people in your life that you need to be able to turn from the world and turn to God. I have given you a pastor to help you guide and change your life and not to follow after false teachings or the traditions of men. But you have not inclined your ear. Why won't you listen to me? He's still saying that. And I want to ask you this morning, why will you not listen to God? It's a good question to ask. And many are going to say here and go, well, I do. Do you? Because even people that are religious will tell me they're listening to God, but in their religiosity, those words aren't from God. But they speak as if they are. And that's something very serious, I think, that we sometimes will say, oh yeah, God says this. And if I'm really in a persnickety mood, I'll look at you and go, really, where's that at? Oh, you can't find that in the Bible. Huh. So before you say, oh, I listen to God, step back and go, why don't I listen to God? Are you just rebellious to him? I don't necessarily think that's the right answer to most people, especially in those in this room. But maybe you're distracted by the noise of this world. That could be. Maybe you're hard to his words, and that can be as well. What have you been listening to that has distracted you from listening to God? Have you been listening to your friends? Have you been listening to TV? Have you been listening to the internet? And TV isn't just like, oh, I don't watch bad shows. TV could be bad preachers. Internet could be like, oh, I'm not on Facebook, but you can still be listening to bad preachers. These things can distract us, but also make us worried and confused about our world. And typically when I hear someone come to me and they're worried and confused about something, and I go, where are you getting this from? They're listening to something else other than God's word. Why have you been listening to that and keeping you from listening to God? God says, I have been speaking to you, but you have not inclined your ear. God has given you his word for you to be able to read it and to study it. God has given you a pastor to guide you He's given you men and women in this church to tell you about Him and His love for you, to tell you about Him and His grace for you, to tell you about Him and His forgiveness for you. But yet you will not hear it. Why are you listening to something else other than God? What are you listening to? God is not telling you a whole bunch of rules so that you can promote His, He can promote His authority and flex His muscle. I am God, do what I tell you. He's telling you practical things that will help you in your life to protect you and care for your well-being, just like Jonadab did for his family. And catch this. Once you become His children, believing in Him as your Savior and receiving life in Christ, once you become a believer, what we call a Christian, once you become that, just like Jonadab did for his children, there is no punishment and there is no backlash when you don't do what you're supposed to do. He says, these are just good things to listen to. These are just good ways to live your life. Here's some good practical things for you in your life. Even what I'm telling you today, this is really some good stuff for you to apply in your life. If you don't do it, God's not going to go, oh, strike you dead. No, the natural consequences of not doing it is what's going to catch you. God gives His children, those who have been born into His family, some practical guidelines that are good for their own good. God promised an eternal future living with Him in the promised land in heaven, worshiping and honoring God forever. If you're not a believer this morning, that's your excitement that you could gain right now. If you're not a believer this morning and you put your trust in Christ and Christ alone, He says, I am ready to give you all of me. I'm ready to give you life, and that life more abundantly, and that life eternal, and you will live with me forever. He gives you that opportunity. But if you're already a believer, He says this, I'm telling you practical things in your life to help you live a better life in Christ, a life that is full of joy and full of compassion, full of love. But men still don't listen. The world offers you temporary fulfillment of the flesh. And when I say the world, a lot of people go, you're right, yeah, those bars and those places. No, I'm talking about the world of Christianity. The world of Christianity also does the same thing. It offers you temporary fulfillment of the flesh. We went to church today and we prayed and we sang some good hymns and I felt good when I left there. It's great, but did you listen to God? I felt great when I left there. It's great. Did you hear what God was trying to tell you? See, even that Christian world can be a fulfillment of the flesh if we don't stop and go, what was God trying to teach me today? The world offers you confusion, disunity, and bitterness, and a lifetime of heartache and consequences for that if we still listen to what's out there and not what God is speaking to us here. But God says, why won't you listen to me? In the sense of Jonadab, listen to him because of a love and respect for their earthly father, not because they're forced to by some punishment or some law. Believers should listen to their heavenly father because they have a love and respect for him even more so, and because of his grace, and because of his mercy that he's shown to you. So I want to ask you this morning, I want you to ask yourself this morning, what are you listening to? And why are you not listening to God? Is it because you're afraid of what he'll say? Is it because you're too comfortable with what you've always heard and what you think is right? Is it because you don't want to start listening to him? Is it because you're too prideful to listen to him? Whatever the reason is, you've got to decide, I'm willing to listen to God. I'm willing to hear what God is saying over anything else. Maybe it's that you don't know God. And if that's the case, I want you to know him. I want you to know him as I know him. And I want you to know him as he wants to be known of you. So if you don't know him, learn of who he is. And he's ready to be your Savior today. Why won't you listen to God this morning? Will you not receive instruction by listening to my words? That's what God is saying right now. Why won't you listen to me? He's speaking to you all this morning, and he's saying something different to each and every one of you. You may be sitting right next to your spouse or a friend or a child or a parent. You may be sitting there, and you're hearing one thing, and you're going, I wonder if they're hearing that too. No, don't worry about that. They could be hearing something completely different. Because God is speaking to you, and he's going to be speaking to you where your heart's at. And he's been speaking to you for a long time. It's not like today you're like, oh, he just started. No, he's been speaking to you for a while, The question is, are you listening to Him? He's speaking to you all this morning, and He's saying something different. And what He's saying to you right now is important. What He's saying to you this morning is what He wants to make your life better this morning. So whatever it is, are you listening? And if you're not listening, why? Why won't you listen to what He has for you? Let's all stand and let's pray together about this in our lives this morning.